Hi, and welcome to Super Anti-Aging Podcast with your host, myself, Steve Halpern. I thought it'd be fun to add a little bit of music. So, yes, I hope you're having a great pre-July 4th. Remember, when you barbecue, make sure you marinate. That helps to marinate. Will help protect you from some of the chemicals that are produced by high temperature dry cooking. You can also eat some blueberries, take Vitalica broccoli seed. Those are all great anti-glycation end product antidotes. And a little of the barbecue isn't going to kill you. You know, we get all these warnings. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. You can't live in a bubble. A little bit. As the saying goes, a little bit of poison won't kill you. It'll actually make you stronger. It's only when your system is overwhelmed. So let me talk about a health principle. A very important health principle. You know, after decades of counseling and working in medical offices and having the privilege of working with my good friend, Dr. Paulina List, an integrative MD, and getting to see a lot of patient histories, I've come to the conclusion that a lot of what's considered illness is actually maladaption syndrome. We as a species have not had the time to adjust to the environment we live in. For centuries, it was a different environment. It was different kinds of food. And if there were toxins in the environment, they tended to be more natural toxins, plant toxins, maybe a little bit of smoke from the fires, but not EMF and pesticides and all sorts of industrial chemicals that we're exposed to, and circadian rhythm fluctuations. You know, there's a whole field of environmental medicine, and even orthodox and alternative practitioners sometimes know very little about this. Yet the symptoms are very, very interesting. You know, I've experienced it, and I've had many clients experience it. You go into a bookstore and you get lightheaded, or you go into a department store like Bloomingdale's with the perfumes and the outgassing of the clothes. All the clothes, so it doesn't get wrinkled outgas. Now, it used to be a problem with dry cleaning, but a lot of dry cleaning places call themselves organic, which often makes me laugh because sometimes working around New York, I get hungry, and I say organic, and it turns out to be a dry cleaning store. But it's great that those chemicals are not there. And then, of course, we have the banning of the ingredient that was in hand cleaners. Yet it still seems to appear in toothpaste and some other products, and it's found to be an endocrine disruptor. So we find a lot of these chemicals can disrupt the hormone system. But let me get back to the chemical sensitivity. So many individuals don't realize that they actually are chemically sensitive. And they get reactions to paint, or paint fumes, which don't bother other people, but it actually does affect the system. They're just not aware of it. It's not that they're immune. They're just not sensitive enough. Remember, the organ that supports the breakdown of these chemicals is the liver. And the healthier your liver is, the more you recover, or actually have a reaction to these things and recover. So things like sulforaphane from broccoli seed, such as Vitalica, or milk thistle, or sometimes oral glutathione, maybe some oral NAC, can all help. But being aware, I'll give you another example. You know, we had our car cleaned, and you go to the, you know, they're going to detail and clean the car, and they take the carpet out, and they put it through some machine, doesn't really clean it, and then they spray it, And boy, I was grogged out and had a headache and couldn't focus and couldn't concentrate until we got rid of the carpet, the plastic, you know, the rubber carpet, and replaced it. Another time, we're on a trip with a rented car, and they had one of those smelly things supposed to, you hang from the mirror and you put it on the, and it fell on the seat, and I didn't know it was there. And again, I was grogged out. We just haven't adjusted and adapted to chemicals, like in all the perfumes, synthetic chemicals every place. So my suggestion is, of course, support your liver, but start to be aware when you start to have symptoms. I realize, could it be where I am, the environment I'm in? Now, of course, the whole issue now is EMF, and it's a little controversial. You know, people are really concerned about the 5G and the effects of the 5G and our constant exposure. And I think, again, we just don't know enough yet. And for myself and for my clients, I suggest don't sleep next to the Wi-Fi router. If you can have it, at least turn it off. And there are, if you go online, there are sites that give you things you can put over the router. And I think if you can get fiber optics or run a wire as opposed to Wi-Fi, it might make a difference. I don't know how these little disc devices you put on your phone really work. I've seen all sorts of various opinions on the web. I think speaking on, talking on the speaker is a good idea. They do make tube headsets that are supposed to be better. And I think given the choice of having the phone next to your head and having a headset, even though the headset might carry some electromagnetics, I don't think that's as big an issue. Microwave ovens, don't stand next to the microwave oven. I think it's distance, and if it leaks, I don't think that's a big concern. There's also some research then on having your house wired the wrong way, and it could put out electromagnetics. And then here's the interesting thing. With fiber optics, why don't more of the phone companies want to use and support fiber optics as opposed to Wi-Fi? Well, it's cheaper to use the Wi-Fi, and yet, this is kind of interesting. I didn't know this, that most of the towers use fiber optics as opposed to Wi-Fi. Well, what can we do? We live in this reality of Wi-Fi, and what I suggest is Wi-Fi is probably going to generate oxidative stress. If you've listened to my podcast, you know this is about the sparks in the fireplace, and you need the rocks to protect you, and especially your brain. So you need lots of good brain nutrients, lots of blueberries, and the berry family, and the sulforaphane from Vitalik and broccoli seed. I think those are important to protect the brain. Maybe also some fish oils, especially the DHA fish oils, astaxanthin, an algae, which I really like and I think protects the brain. So a quick search on, you know, brain protective nutrients might be extremely valuable. Because what happens is this oxidative stress can cause some slight swelling in the brain. Yes, slight swelling in the brain. And, you know what happens when you get swelling in a joint? Well, imagine if you get swelling in your blood-brain barrier. You do not want that in your blood-brain barrier. Now, an interesting finding that I've been telling clients for years. And this is often interesting because when I had a client, I still do counseling. I've added a lot of exercise counseling and meditation counseling to my program because it's not just food and supplements. And one of the interesting things I always used to do is say, keep a food diary. Well, that was the best way to lose clients. People do not like to pay attention. Now, here's the other interesting thing. When you see all these studies, food studies, done on humans, they have food diaries. And that's how they do these studies. And how many people are accurately keeping food diaries, you know, so they can actually see which diet is the best. So there are general rules, you know, that seem to be pretty valuable. You know, and eating a plant-based diet and not eating a lot of processed foods. But what was interesting in this research, and the nutrition scientist did it, and what he did is he experimented with various diets and tested his, you know, blood chemistry. And guess what? Things came out the opposite of what might be expected. He found when he ate oatmeal, it was, you know, supposed to be great, lower cholesterol, and you got the fiber, his blood sugar went up. Imagine that. So it's all about biochemical individuality. You know, there was a great scientist, Dr. Roger Williams, who was responsible for discovering lots and lots of the vitamins, pentothenic acid, for instance, and other B vitamins. And for decades, you know, he was at the University of Texas, and he did lots and lots of animal experiments, and he wrote a book, Nutrition Against Disease, Nutrition Against Alcoholism. And he was well ahead of the curve. He didn't know about, you know, epigenetics and nutrigenomics, about gene expression. But what he found in the animals, and he did something wrong early in one breed, in one species of the mice that he was working with, future generations would have a problem. So if you took away 1B vitamin, in the future they can all have problems with the vitamin need or deficiency. And then he found if he took the animals and he stressed them and banged the cage and didn't let them sleep and gave them lots and lots and lots of sugar, listen to this one, lots and lots of sugar, they would prefer alcohol to food. He was able to create alcoholic animals that normally wouldn't be alcoholic animals through stress and lots of sugar consumption. Anyway, let me get back to the point. The point being, as I counsel, I try to get across to my clients, as I said in previous podcasts, there is no perfect diet for you. There is no perfect food for you. You might notice you take one item in, one good healthy food, you don't feel that great. And your partner or friend or neighbor might take and say, I feel great on this. Now, let's not talk about eating, you know, McDonald's or Burger King or, big milkshakes. Oh, I feel great on the milkshakes or the hamburger. Yes, there is a psychological piece there. Oh, yeah, you can talk yourself into anything. You can get a placebo junk food response, right? I ate this food and all my symptoms disappeared when I eat this. Well, you can get a placebo from anything. Or Nobio, which is if you look at a medication and it lists all the side effects, good possibility you're going to get the side effects. Well, listen to the commercials on TV for the drugs. Good possibility after you look at those, you're going to get the side effects. So anyway, getting back and to my focus here, pay attention, listen to your body. Okay, how does this make me feel? Okay, do I get up tonight? If I eat this the night before, and I get up in the morning groggy with a headache? If I eat this in the morning, am I sluggish in the afternoon? Biochemical individuality. And we haven't got to the point of accurately determining this. It depends on you. Some other interesting research that came out from nutrition conferences is that all these microbiome tests are premature. We still don't understand the interaction of all these probiotics. Dozens and dozens of products out there. My suggestion is eat some good probiotic foods. You know, sometimes I take a kefir and maybe kombucha or kombucha, however you'd like to say it, if you like it. And lots of fiber. It's easy to get fiber. Look at the labels. All chicory and inulin and ACEA, A-C-I-A, fiber. The salad's going to have lots of fiber in it. Beans are going to have lots of fiber. If you're a bean person, some people aren't a bean person. I mean, it's very interesting. If I eat beans, I don't feel good. And I've tried it over and over and over again. So that's me. Does it mean that beans are bad? That all sorts of bad stuff? No. It's just my personal reaction. It's like even coffee. I can try different kinds of coffee, and some coffee makes me feel great. Not in regards to the caffeine. And some coffees, I feel terrible. My other big bone to pick, well, if you're talking plant-based diet, you're not going to have the bones, is I try and, you know, eventually I'm going to put this in my blog. I try different health foods and various health drinks and also concoctions almost every day. And even bars occasionally. Some taste good and some of them taste terrible. And I wonder who's testing these things. Who's taste testing these things to see how it tastes? If it doesn't taste good to most people, you're going to go out of business. So I'll leave you with this anecdote. When I first started, I was working in a holistic center, you know, a Pritikin type center, where we were giving people low-fat diets. We were way like 35 years ahead of our time, maybe more. And suddenly switching people to high fiber, which created a little problem, a lot of gas, which you can take charcoal for if you want, and you can take Essex if you want. But that wasn't the problem. The problem is we had two dietitian cooks who couldn't taste, for whatever reason, they had a couldn't taste disease. So none of the food tasted good. And try switching people to a healthy diet. Good, healthy, plant-based diet should taste good. I've tried some of these plant-based yogurts. And they have, you know, there's some of the almond yogurt. And I've tried some of the other nut, you know, coconut yogurt. And then I tried another nut yogurt. They tasted terrible. And then when I tried to give it to someone who's trying to make a diet transition, I said, try this. It's terrible. So my last piece is you go into a good health store, or you go to Whole Foods, or you go to any of the, you know, health markets, and what do you see? Dozens and dozens and dozens of protein powders. Endless. And my question is, why? The only reason we used to do that is in a hospital when we were tube feeding someone and we knew they were going to be protein deficient. They were laid up in bed and you would give them the additional protein. Eat the whole food. You really don't need that much excessive protein, and you don't need protein powders. They get processed. Why? Why am I taking pea protein in if I can eat peas? Okay. So this whole nonsense of these protein powders, and I'm going to, you know, pee off some of the companies, you know, that sell all these, but it drives me crazy. You do not need this better place. Take the money you're spending on all these protein powders and spend it on whole food. You can't tell me you don't have time to eat some whole food. Okay, occasionally you're in a rush and you can't, you know, you don't want to take some egg whites or just eggs if you want for whatever reason, and you want to mix in some protein. It's okay. But not as a substitute for real food. And that's my message. Whole, unprocessed, real, not chemically put together foods. And getting back to my original concept, maladaption. We haven't adapted to all these chemicalized foods. That's the real problem. Our bodies do not know what to do with these. Okay, if you love this podcast, like I do, I love the podcast, please subscribe. I also have a website now, and I'm going to have some additional websites. Vitalica Supplements, vitalicasupplements.com. And there's some information there, and I also put the podcast on there. So if someone wants to just go to vitalicasupplements.com, they can be able to hear some of these podcasts, or they can just subscribe and you'll get these in email. It motivates me, so please subscribe and please share this podcast so we can create a movement of wellness. Again, this is Steve Halpern, and thank you so much for listening.